Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
My name is Lisa Joanne Walden, and I am interviewing my mother, Joanne Lee Piper Walden. Today is March 12th, 2014. And we are at the Midwest Genealogy Center in Independence, Missouri. We are going to talk about what it was like for you to grow up. So, Joanne, when and where were you born?
I was born in Flint, Michigan, at Hurley Hospital on March 22, 1933. Often heard my mother say she had to walk across the lawn in Hurley Hospital in rather deep snow to get there to deliver me.
How did she get there?
My father had a Plymouth. Well, maybe not one. Yeah. I don't know what he had before a Plymouth. I'm assuming that was his first car, but I'm not sure.
Okay. How long were you, or actually, what was the first address where you grew up? Was that on Belmont?
Is that on?
Yeah, it's on.
My folks had built the home on Belmont, 824 Belmont in Flint. But the Depression came along, and they chose to rent the house out and live in a smaller house for the first year of my life. And that house was eventually the office of a dentist.
It's okay.
And he was the one that was Mother's next-door neighbor.
Sorcher.
Dr. Sorcher, yes. And when Dr. Sorcher wasn't doing dental work in the office, when he had a break, he had a back room where he wove shawls for the Jewish rabbis. Anyway, that's where I was the first year, and I have no memory of that. When finances got better, we moved back into the house on Belmont. There weren't very many children for me to play with. There were just two other girls in the area. And I had to probably walk every day, walk to school. I don't know, could have been pretty close to a mile. Maybe a little less, every morning, then back home for lunch, and then back to school for the afternoon, and then back home and when school was out, the end of the day. That was a lot of walking. I think that was what made me healthy.
What was the name of the school? Do you remember?
The school was Walker. Walker Grade School. And school-wise, from there, I went to Whittier Junior High. Then after that, it was Flint Central High School. I didn't know how blessed I was. I took everything for granted because being so young, I didn't know the difference. But from the day I was born, my folks had a cottage on Lake Fenton. And my dad's brother and his wife, Dorothy and Jim Piper, had a cottage right next to ours. on Lake Fenton. And so my cousin Bill and I had a chance to play together a lot in the summertime.
What did you like to play? When you were playing, what did you play?
I don't know.
Did you swim?
Yes. In that cottage, yes. Mother would let me go swimming. I don't know how well I swam, actually. Maybe I do remember her giving me swimming lessons at the YWCA when I was older. And then I became a lifeguard because I'm basically a fish. And I love being underwater even more than on top of the water.
Where were you lifeguarding?
I didn't have a job as a lifeguard, but I got the certificate in case I ever needed it. And one thing that I enjoyed doing, swimming underwater, Bill and I would go looking for clams, and we'd swim down low to the sand and follow a trail. And when we get to the end of the trail, we'd find a clam and then bring it back to the dock and open it up. So that was a big deal. And we loved to just row. Daddy had a rowboat, and we would row. And then he had a Chris Craft, and that was an inboard motor boat. That was very fortunate to have a boat like that. Not everybody could afford it. And
tell me about the name Chris Craft.
Oh, yes. The back of the boat had two doors that opened up with handles. That was where the motor was. And I would lay on the back of that boat while Daddy was driving and hang on to the handles, and I would look at the name Chris Craft. I didn't know that it was a man's name at that time. In fact, it took me a lot of years to realize that. But I fell in love with the name Chris. And so the one boy that I had, I called him Chris. Chris Howard Walden. So that's how he got his name.
Tell me about your mother. What did she do? Who was your mother, and what did she do out at the cottage?
At the cottage?
Who's your mother?
She worried all the time. Because she didn't like the water and was afraid of it, and consequently very nervous when I was out in the water, in the boat or just swimming around on the shore when I was little. And then, of course, when I was an adult, we were living in a different cottage, and I tried once a year to swim clear across the lake, at least once. And Mother, I don't know, it's a wonder she didn't have a heart attack, because every time a boat went by, it looked closer to me than it did to her on shore. And
would anybody go with you, or did you just go by yourself?
Oh, no, I would never go by myself, because even as a lifeguard, or as well as I could swim, you can always get cramps. I mean, that's a possibility. So I would have somebody row the boat, or by that time I also had a canoe. No, I never. We had a canoe, but that we used the rowboat to go beside me as I swam. And
what do you remember her doing in the cottage while you were out there? Anything?
No, Mother was just a little homemaker, you know, just keeping the cottage nice. And
did she cook anything?
Oh, yeah, she cooked a lot and canned. She did a lot of canning. We would always go into the town of Fenton, and on the way there would be roadside stands where they had fresh fruits and vegetables, and and we'd go to the orchard and get a big basket full of peaches, bring them back to the cottage, and we had a back porch, an enclosed back porch, and when she started to can, I remember she wanted me, she didn't want that whole bushel of peaches in the kitchen. She couldn't stand to look at such a huge quantity. So she would have me bring in just a dishpan full of peaches at a time. I guess that made her feel better. Kind of cute. And
would you ever have any fish?
Fish? Oh, yeah. Every weekend, my father and my Uncle Clifford would go fishing, and sometimes we'd get some really good ones, bluegills and perch. But I remember one time they went out after we had had a rain, and apparently that's a good time. And they were catching fish so fast that they couldn't put them on a stringer. They had to just throw them in the bottom of the boat. And when they got home, I mean back to our dock, there was no place to step on the bottom of that boat. It was just full of fish. And one other fishing story was when Daddy was casting, and or I don't know how he was fishing, that's beside the point, I guess. But a big pike jumped up out of the water and caught a sunfish in its mouth. And either my dad or Uncle Clifford netted that pike. When he brought it home, they laid it out on the front lawn, and it was exactly the length of a yardstick. And the fish, the sunfish, was still in the pike's mouth. And I remember that Daddy was so proud of that he caught this big pike right in the air. That he, when he cut the head of the pike off with the sunfish still in it, wrapped it up in newspapers to take it to the office the next day to show everybody.
Did he ever teach you how to fish, or did you learn how to clean fish? Or
lots of there were quite a few nights when he would come back from Flint to the lake, you know, and we'd have dinner, and then we'd go out in the rowboat, and he had an outboard motor on that, and he would have the seat by the motor, and I guess I was in the middle and my mom was up at the other end, and we'd be still fishing with a bamboo pole. And sometimes it would be just, you know, the three of us out there. I would be bored to tears, and I'd have black sweet cherries or something I could eat while I was out there and throw the pits in the water. But yeah, a lot of nights we'd go out after Daddy got home from work.
What did he do? What was his work?
He and my grandpa, his father, and his two brothers were all in a real estate business, and it was called Piper Realty in Flint. And the distance between Flint and Fenton was about 15 miles.
Did you go back and forth with him? Did you ever go back and forth to Flint with him, or did you stay out at the cottage all year round, or what was the time for the cottage in your life during the year?
Well, just living in the cottage was a time when there was no school, just the summer. And so I don't know as I ever went back and forth very much, except for when we went into church. Daddy would drive in. But Mother had a car at the lake, and so we could go into Fenton to get groceries. And in those days, you just walked into the grocery store, and the owner would be on the other side of the counter, and Mother would tell the owner, the grocery man, she'd have a list, and she would tell him what she wanted, and he would go to the shelves and pick it off and set it on the counter. And that was it. You didn't go around getting your groceries like we do nowadays.
Did you have a phone out there?
No, we didn't have a phone for many years until I almost lost you, my daughter, when you almost fell off onto the floor. And I grabbed you by your ankles.
So how old was I?
Well, maybe 3 months or something like that.
So I was a baby.
And I said, I was such a wreck that for the first time in my life, I guess, I spoke up and said, I will not spend one more day in this cottage at the lake without a phone or a car because I, when I had that terrible experience with you, I checked the neighbors, Mrs. Ephraim and the McMahons, and on up the line, there wasn't anybody home that day. Nobody. Nobody to help me, had it been a worse situation. And so, I guess my dad, or no, not my dad. He wasn't around, he wasn't living then. I guess my husband and my mother decided to get a phone into the cottage and buy me a used car that would get me into Flint if I had to.
But going back to when you were young, what was your relationship like with your parents as an only child?
Well, it was good because Mother and Daddy were both really generous about inviting, or if I said that I wanted my friend Eugenie to come out, or my friend Lila, you know, whatever girlfriend I had, have them come out and spend 2 or 3 days. Daddy would pick her up at her house and bring her out to the lake at dinner time, and they'd stay for 2 or 3 days or whatever, and then Daddy'd take them back into Flint. So I'd have a chance to visit with and play with. We had a big swing. And of course the dock and the rowboat. But before we moved to the first cottage, when I was really young, and my cousin Bill lived next door to me, I don't know what in the world the windows on his cottage had awnings above the windows. I don't know what in the world he was doing, but he fell out of the second story window and landed on the awning of the window below. And you know, we were only about 5 years old, The other thing I remember, Mother was such an angel. She was an earth angel. I never heard her say a bad thing about anybody. I never heard her use any bad words or anything. And I particularly remember Bill. Bill had an older brother and a younger brother. And Bill every once would say, "Oh gosh," you know. And I picked it up. I mean, I didn't know there was anything wrong with "oh gosh." And I remember to this day, Mother saying, "Joanne, I don't want you to say that word." And I'd say, "Why?" And she said, "Because I think it's just another way of saying, oh God, and that's not nice." And so, you know, I didn't have any problem with that. But that shows the kind of mother she was. Mm-hmm. She didn't want me saying, "Oh gosh."
What do you remember doing with your father? Did you ever have any activities that you did with him in Flint?
In Flint. I just remember he bought some ice skates. We had an ice skating pond at the end of our street on Belmont, and it was a tennis court, and the city would flood the tennis court, and that was just two blocks from my house. Mm-hmm. And so I would go ice skating down there either with friends or my dad never took me down there, but he did buy a pair of skates for himself. And we did skate across Lake Fenton one time. And we just did it once. But I remember it. And
how often did you get to see him when you were in Flint?
How often?
He told me once about you having to go to bed real early.
Oh, gee. Yes. I had to be in bed by 7 o'clock, and I guess it's a good thing I was a good sleeper, because there'd be kids out in the street playing, and I had to be in bed. So that kind of lets you know how exciting that was.
So when did you have time with him?
Just on weekends. Or some nights after he got home from work, if it was like when it was nice weather, and he'd be out working in the yard digging dandelions with a pen knife or a kitchen knife or something that he'd dig dandelions out with, I'd be just anxious that he was outside while I was out there. I don't know if we were doing anything together, but just having him out there was nice.
Are there any smells that you associate with your father? Or any sounds? Or did he sing while he was shaving?
My family did not sing. I don't think they even uttered one note. But
what about a pipe? When did he have his pipe?
Well, I don't know if there was any set time. I do remember a few times when we'd be at the dining room table in the cottage on Windsor Beach, when after dessert he'd kind of kick back in his chair at the table, you know, and he'd get a cigar, and I'd go sit on his lap, and 'cause if a man smokes a cigar, he bites the end of it off first. So I thought that was a big deal. He let me bite the end of it off, even though it was really nasty. But I thought I was just doing him a big favor. And and it's too bad we didn't know that smoking wasn't good for you. But I like the smell of, I can still kind of smell the pipe the pipe because it was the tobacco he used was rum maple, and that smelled kind of good. But neither one of them were really, my mother or father weren't really into, you know, doing things with me. And we didn't have the storybooks that children have nowadays. Maybe three or four was all I had. So,
what do you remember of your mother? What do you remember her doing?
She did a lot of needlework. She did embroidery. She made, you could buy pillowcases with a stamped design on it, and then you'd, you know, use different colored embroidery floss to, well, if it was flowers or whatever the design was. She liked doing that needlework, and I still have those pillowcases.
Did she teach you how to cook, or did you just learn that on your own?
I must have just learned it on my own, because your dad and I got married, one of the first meals I cooked was, I was going to make tomato soup with rice that you could buy it in the can, and I was going to make it myself. And I didn't know how rice would swell up. I don't know. I must have put a boatload of rice in that tomato soup. It was just, you know, chunky. That was funny. I had no idea. That's the only cooking mistake that I remember, but I know I had others. I did cook a duck once. And that was when I was pregnant for Laurie, and I was so sick to my stomach from the smell of that duck. So that was not a good thing.
So that's why I don't remember ever having been served duck in all the years.
That's right. That's right.
But she never actually taught you how to cook in the kitchen? You don't remember any of that?
No, I think I just learned by just watching, because one day in the summer there on Windsor Beach, Mother was getting dinner ready for herself and your dad and I. And, of course, my daddy wasn't living at that time. And anyway, she had the individual little salad bowls to put on the table, and the lady next door, that would have been Mrs. McMahon, happened to come over for some reason. I don't know, that's beside the point, but she happened to stop in and ask Mother something, and she saw these individual salad bowls all lined up with lettuce and, you know, sliced tomatoes and just real pretty. Mother always made everything really attractive to the eye. And they were all set to take into the dining room. And Mrs. McMahon looked at those, and she just couldn't believe what she was saying. You make those, make that for everybody every night? Oh, dear. Mother couldn't get over that, because that was just something very, you know, common for us.
If you could have asked her for to make some kind of special meal for you, what would you have asked her that she really was good at cooking that you liked?
Well, one thing I liked, and it was just it would be like when Aunt Helen and Uncle Clifford would come out, and she would make yeast rolls. Cinnamon rolls, you know, rolled up and with cinnamon in them, and then they'd be in a glass pie plate. And then when they'd come out of the oven, she had would have a confectioner sugar icing that she'd spread all over. And there would always be the center roll and then other rolls all the way around it. And I would just often ask her to make those, you know. And I always wanted the middle one because I didn't like the outside, the crusty part. And I still don't. I cut the crust off of bread. I think one time she got a little upset because I wanted the middle one all the time. But that's something about, you know, crusty kind of bread that I wanted it soft.
Did she ever tell you no? Or
seems like she might not have said no, but she might have said, "Well, I don't know why you have to have the middle one," or I don't know.
It's made you feel a little guilty for
yeah, something like
wanting
that.
The middle one.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a child?
Shy. One word.
Were you happy?
Yeah. You know, you get used to being playing alone. When I didn't have a girlfriend out, or when we had moved away from where Bill, the area, the cottage where we lived next door to my cousin, I didn't have anybody to play with at all. And I just spent my day out on the dock. Sometimes or rowing around by myself. And I'd lay on the dock and on my tummy and look down in between the boards and watch the fish and the minnows swimming around underneath the dock. I mean, it was a simple entertainment. And if there was a slightly dry summer where we'd get a little bit of a beach, 3 feet maybe or something like that, and the shells would wash up, that was fun to find some of the shells. But, and when Bill would come out and be with me in that cottage too, because we were, you know, we were only 6 months apart. We were just about like fraternal twins. And so we'd swim together and we'd row the boat together and open up clams. And
what did you do in Flint when you were by yourself that made you happy?
In Flint?
Did you have any toys?
Well, I wanted awfully bad. Well, no. I had my dolls. I was a very young mother, a very good mother, as a little girl, walking my doll buggy and outside up and down the street and but Grandpa bought Bill a three-wheel bike. I can remember clearly. He took Bill and I to a store that sold things like that, and he bought Bill a three-wheel bike, and and he bought me a scooter. And Bill said that he can still see the disappointed look on my face, even to this day. I said, "Ooh, I didn't know it showed." But I never thought, I mean, I wanted a tricycle too, you know. But Bill got the tricycle and I got a scooter. And I didn't have the, you know, it wasn't like me to speak up and say, "Well, Grandpa, I want a tricycle too." know, I just accepted what I got.
Did you ever ask your parents for a tricycle?
Mm-mm. But I did ask for a two-wheel bike when I got old enough, you know, like I was in, Walker School, so I guess I maybe was in sixth grade. And my friends all had two-wheel bikes, and I didn't. And Mother never really gave me an answer. And it wasn't until I was, probably having my own children that I was in the living room with Mother one day and asked her, I said, you know how badly I wanted a two-wheel bike those years? And she said, yes. And I said, why didn't you ever let me have one? I said, was it because you were afraid that you might lose your only child, you know, with getting hit by a car? And all she could do was nod her head.
But she never told you why you couldn't have a bike. Hmm.
And I might add at this point that Mother and Daddy graduated from high school together, so they were the same age. And so they were 42. Both of them were 42 when Daddy died. And I was 14. And so, you know, Mother had that responsibility of keeping her one chick alive, I guess. And
what was your experience or your memories of finding out your father died?
Say that again?
What are your memories of finding out that your dad died?
Well, I knew he was in the hospital. I mean, because I had been up there. And I do remember the last time that I went to the hospital to visit him. It was a Saturday, of course, because I wasn't in school. And I just kind of sat off in the corner of the room while Mother talked with him. He was very, very sick with cancer. And it never occurred to me I'd never see him again. And so I just sat there by myself while she and Daddy, Mother was sitting up close to the head of the bed so she could talk to him. And then pretty soon it was time to go. And so I just said goodbye. I don't remember even kissing him goodbye.
Did you typically kiss him goodbye when he left the house?
No. No. At least I don't recall about it. I shouldn't say no, but I don't remember it. But I do remember the horrible sorrow that I had in my heart, you know, after that last visit I had, that I never had another one with him, because one night, Mother got a call from the hospital to come up because he was on his way to die. And so I remember Mother calling the next door neighbor, Mrs. Bell, if she'd come over and stay in the house with me, because it was in the middle of the night. And then when Mother got home from the hospital, she must have got herself cried out. But anyway, she crawled into bed with me, and she told me that Daddy had died. And I don't know. I don't remember crying. It just seemed weird. I didn't know how to react. I mean, of course, I just didn't know what death was all about. I'd never been to a funeral home or anything. And I don't think they were trying to keep information from me or anything like that. I don't think my mother even knew that he was close to death. It was a very unusual thing, though, because he was in the same room on the 9th floor of Hurley Hospital in Flint, and died in that room. And that's the same room that my cousin Bill, I mean, they lived next door to us, you know, at the lake. My uncle Jim died in that same room of pneumonia.
That must have been hard on your grandparents.
Yeah, I would guess.
I thought your father also had pneumonia.
He did. He had pneumonia before they were married and almost died. He did almost die of pneumonia. And
what kind of cancer did he have?
It was a big tumor in his thigh. I mean, that's the way it started out. So, I mean, I don't... And I remember one time Mother coming home, and I think she was crying or feeling really sad because Daddy had told her that day when they were going to take him to... on the elevator, you know, to maybe a lab room or, well, I don't know, someplace in the hospital, and they dropped him. And he was just skin and bones to begin with.
Because of the cancer?
Mm-hmm. So...
Didn't you tell me that he had a boating accident? He fell on the boat?
Yes, yes.
So was it testicular cancer?
We had a big canvas over this Chris Craft. You know, the Chris Crafts have, they're open and with leather seats and that sort of thing. And so you always cover up a Chris Craft with a canvas. And he had slipped on the boat, yeah, and hurt himself. That could have caused it. I don't know. And when people don't... Mother wasn't great for asking questions, and I probably get that from her. I never think what to ask people.
So were you allowed to go to the funeral?
Mm-hmm. I went to the funeral.
Where was that?
That was at the Groves funeral home in Flint. And I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. I do remember just kind of staring at... I mean, I was away maybe 4 or 5 feet from the casket, but I was just kind of looking in that direction at Daddy's profile, and just all of a sudden I thought I saw him sit up.
It'd be pretty upsetting to a kid.
Well, I mean, I thought I saw it, but I knew I didn't really, and so it wasn't... I just remember that experience.
So let's close with one of your best memories.
Above Daddy?
Or how about of Well, yeah, let's do it, because we can talk later about...
He was kind of a joke, you know.
He was a joker. He was a joker.
He was. He was a happy person, but we had a little breakfast room off the kitchen there on Belmont. A little breakfast table. And I always... And there was just the three of us that would have our meals there. But I sat... Where I sat at the table each time, my back was to the window, and that looked out on the backyard. And in the backyard, we had an apricot tree, and we had some nice flowers. We also had a dog pen, and Daddy had a big dog, an Irish setter, Mac McDuff, short Mickey. And Mickey had this pen outside, but also a little door. He could go into the garage. And so sometimes Mickey would be inside the garage. So that was what our backyard was like, was this, with this dog run in it. And so one night at dinner, Mother had fixed Daddy's favorite chocolate cake. It was a milk chocolate cake with milk chocolate icing. And we each had one on our plate. And and so there was a point where we were eating our dessert, and Daddy turned his head and looked out the window. And was looking and looking, you know, like he saw something out there, you know, and so to the point where I got curious, and I turned around and looked, and when I turned around and looked, my cake disappeared. So, you know, that gives you kind of an idea.
Not to trust your father. Did you get another piece of cake?
I think he just gave it back to me or something, but yeah. But that was, I can still see him just looking, you know, it's like, I wonder if Mickey's out there or what's going on. Yeah, and I couldn't resist any longer, and I had to turn around.
Actually, I heard from Uncle Bill that he remembered Howard's humor also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is your father's full name?
Howard Foss Piper.
And he was the son of?
Mark Howard Piper, Sr.
Just one parent?
Oh. We came from
a miracle.
Very unusual family. No, I'm like, and his... My daddy's mother was Nellie Foss Piper.
Yeah.
Nellie May Foss Piper.
Okay, and who was your mother?
My mother, Leona Eloise Mahan Piper.
Good. And her parents? It's like an intelligence test, isn't it?
Alvin. Her father was Alvin Reisner. And her mother was Caroline...
Crosby.
Caroline Crosby Mahan.
Yeah. Can you explain why you said Alvin's name was Reisner... but Caroline's married name was Mahan, just for the record here. or maybe, do you want me to explain it for the record?
Yeah, I wish you would, because I don't want to mess it up and make it wrong.
For the record.
Yeah.
Alvin, when he was born, his mother was suffering from bowel cancer, and as an infant, she died. And that was the Reisner family. And so a relative of his father's adopted him, and so he became a Mahan. So we have a very short Mahan name lineage, but a very long Reasoner, R-E-A-S-N-E-R, lineage. Well, thank you very much. This concludes our interview today.